Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I have a question to start us off. I don't know if you saw the trailer for the new Blade Runner movie.
I did.
But it got me thinking, who in the Premier League do you think could be a replicant?
That is a good question.
Do you think James Milner might be some sort of android? I mean, I understand that it does not compute that he missed a penalty.
What about Granit Xhaka? Granit Xhaka does not look like a human being, right? With his like robot hair, he looks like who's that? Remember the movie AI? Remember Jude Law?
Oh yeah, AI? Jude Law and AI. He had the very smooth skin. It was like Uncanny Valley style.
that's my pick.
All right, so Blade Runner, that's a movie that's coming out, but that has nothing to do with Game Week 36 that we just got through.
Game Week 36 is in the books. It was, I guess it lived up to, I don't know, the hype, I was going to say. I mean, it was hyped in a sense because this was the first game week of, you know, the kind of the final act, right, of the season where, you know, game week 36, a ton of managers, especially, you know, savvy managers, kind of people who listen to this podcast, played their wild card.
It was the beginning of the end of the season, basically, game week 36.
It really is. And people like me who didn't have a wild card played their triple captain. It was kind of, I felt like it was like one or the other for a lot of managers.
Yeah, it was kind of a big week in a way, but also anticlimactic. I mean, for speaking on behalf of myself, coming out of my wild card, I only got one goal in my team. I mean, I managed to score 74 points, but still with one goal coming from Marcus Alonso.
Right.
As far as attacking returns go, it was a pretty dismal week.
Yeah, and even that goal could have been an own goal. You doubled up on the Arsenal defense, which turned out to be a great move, right? I mean, that kind of carried your game week.
It did, yeah. Peter Cech in goal was 16 points, and the Nacho man with 12. So 28 points altogether just from a couple of defenders. I almost managed to cover Alexis Sanchez there, which was kind of the plan. So in my wild card, I decided to go without Alexis Sanchez. That was the big gamble I made, largely because I couldn't afford him.
Right.
And come out with a respectable-looking team.
Yeah, a lot of people had to go either Sanchez or Hazard in order to make that happen. You know, I think it was possible to do those if you know, if you had enough team value. You know, it's funny, I was looking at Anders FK, I think, is the team name for the
Bricklayers.
Bricklayers FC. And he's a number one in the Hail Cheater Super League. And I was looking at his team, and he's got Sanchez, and he has Eden Hazard. And it's like a pretty loaded team. And then he has $4 million in the bank as well. And I'm just trying to imagine like any way that my team could have Hazard and Sanchez and still have $4 million in the bank. Like, it would have to be all like sub 5 million forwards or something to make that happen.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, so it was a gamble for me to go without Sanchez. We were talking about this before we hit record, but up to the 60th minute of that Southampton game, it was all coming out beautifully for me. But, it was inevitable, it felt like. And I know Sanchez has been in woeful form. I think we'll talk more about him looking ahead to game week 37. But it just felt so unlikely that he would come out of this double without anything.
It was big for us in our 50-buck cup too, because we're actually tied now with two games to go. I mean, you have a superior point differential on me, so you know it's kind of like being tied on the table, but goal difference is still there. But at the very least, with 36 games played, you and I are tied at 17-2 and 17 on the season.
We're equal in wits.
We're equal.
Josh.
We are friends and equals.
We'll see if we're friends after the end of this season. I'm not entirely convinced about that.
Just taking it one game week at a time, Brandon. You know, if I win next game week, then I move on to game week 38. I'm not thinking any further ahead yet.
Yeah. So I was doing my wild card, not to belabor this. I was shooting a few emails back and forth with our good friend Jeff Petter. And the narrative around Sanchez and Ozil going into game week 36 was basically like you had tweeted out, I'm triple captaining Sanchez while holding my nose.
Right.
Everyone was kind of like, well, these Arsenal attacking options stink. But we kind of feel like we have to have them. And I just felt, well, let's go with my gut here. And if they stink that bad, maybe I don't have to have them. And again, getting rid of Ozil and Sanchez allowed me my midfield with the wild card is Hazard, Dele Alli, Sané, Josh King, who we both brought in for this week.
Right.
And the maestro himself, Etienne Capoue. By virtue of his double game week, he makes his perhaps final appearance in FPL and always cheating lore. Yeah. So I was covering a lot of bases there, and then in the Arsenal featured heavily in my defense. So I've got Peter Cech and Willy Caballero as the goalkeeper rotation. Marcus Alonso doubled on Southampton D with Yoshida and Stevens. Monreal in the back, and Jan Vertonghen, which might be my biggest disappointment of the game week.
Yeah, and him getting subbed off 2 minutes after the goal.
Yeah, because I ended up benching Jack Stevens, right. Which, you know, it all kind of worked out as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Though I expected Spurs to get a clean sheet against West Ham, and then it would have been perfect. And then up front, it's Gabriel Jesus, Harry Kane, and Victor Anachibe. So,
Anachibe aside, you know, very, very solid up and down. I think a lot of players that people have, that other managers have brought in, on their wild card. I mean, Caballero is, you know, a steal at, what is he, like 4.7 million right now or something like that? Maybe I'm sure he's risen a bit since then.
I bought him at 4.6, but he's at 4.7 now. What's okay. Funny is, our guest last week, Dave Wegner-Lodahl, shout out to Dave. Everyone loved you, Dave. We'll have to have you back soon. But our wildcard teams turned out virtually the same, except he had a better team value and brought in Alexis Sanchez instead of Leroy Sané. So
yeah, I don't think that's a huge surprise. I think given where we are in the season, given, you know, that we like, given that you're only planning for two or three game weeks, given that you're the kind of managers that are both taking the game pretty seriously, it would make sense that you would sort of coalesce at the end of the season, right? That you would sort of have certain players that made the most sense because you're really thinking in such a short, you know, I mean, if you're, you know, when you're wildcarding that first time around, even if you did it in the same game week, you could have radically different teams because, you know, some people are looking 3 weeks ahead, some people are looking 8 weeks ahead, you know, some people are burying like a cheap keeper at the, you know, as their backup. I think I've seen a lot of wildcard teams. It feels like there's a lot of similarity there.
Yeah, it's either people going like all heavy hitters up front, or Anachibe was the great sort of liberator up there.
Yeah.
All right, so to talk about your team, I want to start with a question we got on Twitter from Scorchio, who says, triple captain, what do the stats say? Is it better to save for a double game week or go for form and fixture combination in a single game week? I direct this at you, Josh, because you're coming off your triple cap. How did it go for you?
Yeah, I mean, I never would have. I can't imagine a situation where I triple captain a player in a single game week. I'm too risk averse. I mean, I felt
there are a number of really good managers out there that this week in 36 they triple capped Eden Hazard or Harry Kane, thinking they had the fixtures and the form, and it was a total bust.
But
a great comparison with Alexis Sanchez, right, who was kind of in terrible form but had the double.
Because even the best goal scorers, you know, I mean, Harry Kane, for example, or Alexis Sanchez, for that matter, you know, they're only scoring, you know, 20, somewhere between, you know, 20 and 25 goals in a season. These are the absolute top players. And that means that, you know, one in every something like 45% to 50% of all games, they're not going to score. And if they're strikers, they're probably not going to be getting that many assists either. So, you know, for me, just having two fixtures with any talented player just helps me to manage the risk a little bit. You know, it puts me in a position where the very least I'm going to get, assuming no yellow cards, red cards, whatever, is 4, 5, 6 points. I mean, you know, even if Sanchez hadn't scored today, you know, so I ended up getting 14 points from him tripled. You know, so it's 42 points. But even if he hadn't scored, I still would have been on 6 points. You know, I mean, it's the equivalent of getting a goal from a striker in a single game week. So I don't know if that's necessarily a stats-based response to that question, but just
we're not going to pull all the stats, Josh. Come on, right? we're off the cuff at always cheating.
Yeah, but this is a way to manage risk because you know people have also talked about game week 38 as a possible place to save the triple captain. You know, Chelsea are home to Sunderland, stuff like that. But you know, game week 38. I mean, who knows? You know, I mean, it could be that Chelsea. You know, they play all their starters through game week 37, and then game week 38 is when Ake and all of these bench players finally get a run in. You know, like it's sort of like they do the guard of honor, or maybe they play these guys for a half, right? You know, Hazard plays 45 minutes and they sub him off and he gets to, you know, wait for the crowd. I don't know. I mean, like it feels like there's a lot of risk in waiting until game week 38.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it's all about the double with your triple caps. How'd you do this week?
So I finished on 96, which I'm obviously really happy with, and I moved up like 220,000 places. So I'm sort of like I've been on this long comeback from, you know, just a pretty awful start of the season. I think I'm up like 1.3 million. In the last like 12 game weeks, and it's been around 10 game weeks since I wildcarded, and it certainly makes me feel not that I ever felt bad about it, but it makes me feel very justified in doing an earlier wildcard. I think managers who are not having a great season or need to shake up their team wait too long to wildcard, and I know I made that mistake last year where I waited until when everyone said the right time to wildcard was, which I think was like game week 33. This time around, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try to get out ahead and just hope that all the managers who wildcard don't, you know, just blow past me. And I even feel pretty good about next game week. You know, I mean, I currently have 10 double game week players. If I, you know, and I actually brought in a single game week player this week. I dropped Milner, finally, who'd been just taking up. You know,
thank God that would have been a full-on Josh Landon implosion if you still had Milner for this week.
So, yeah, and I made kind of a counterintuitive move. I actually didn't bring in a double game week player. I brought in Josh King. I just love King's fixtures through the rest of the season. You know, picked up 5, which, you know, so it was a 4-point net increase. And he's a single game league player that I want for the doubles. I'm planning to keep Zaha, who is at home to Hull in game week 37. So I feel pretty, you know, I mean, assuming I might burn 4, and if I do that, then I'm on 12 double game league players. So, you know, doing the wild card early hasn't really cost me that much.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, for sure. I mean, without it, you wouldn't have kickstarted this run that you're on until late in the season, and it just wouldn't have had the same impact.
By the way, just so anyone who's listening who cares about this, which is like 8 people, we have some winners in the Showstoppers League.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
So, do you want to shout them out?
Yeah, quickly. Yeah. So Siraj Garish pulls off the 8-1 upset. And
hey, Siraj.
He snuck in on the last day, too. So Siraj is now into the semifinals.
He Cinderella beat story, really, right there for Siraj.
Truly is. So he's in the semis. He'll play Jeff, or he beat Jeff Petter. I think Siraj and I actually play in the semis. I beat Luke Maunder, 96-81. And then Ian Stimson is also in the semis. He beat Luke Thunberg. And William Bridley, with 108 points, knocked off last week's co-host, Dave Wegner-Lodahl, who had 96 points.
Well, I'd like to say I could have scored 108 points this week if I really wanted to, but frankly, I wasn't up for it.
No, you didn't feel like it.
I didn't really feel like it. We have a meltdown of the week, Josh.
Okay.
In Poch We Trust tweeted at us, leader in my mini league, triple captain, Peter Cech. I quit. I did Ozil as a differential fail.
I mean,
triple captain on the goalkeeper. There was a tinge in the back of my mind that maybe I would captain Peter Cech going into game week 36, but it strikes me as insanity.
I did strongly suggest on the last week's podcast that you captain Cech.
Well,
I'm not saying that I, you know, would have done it myself, but it was definitely on the table as an option last week.
You did look into a crystal ball, all things the same.
Well, I think I said if I were you, I really would think about captaining Cech.
Yeah, the fixtures were great, and yeah, I think I just do a lot of hedging with defense, and like I doubled up on the defense, and I felt like, well, if they end up with 2 clean sheets, I'm still looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Back there with Cech and Monreal, and I ended up captaining Hazard, and I thought there was some upside there. Mm-hmm. But as we all know, Hazard is in the midst of his 3 to 4 week disappearance.
Well, it's only one so far, right? He had an assist last game week. So, and even Ozil, I mean, you know, he ended up on 8 points. It's not bad as a captain. You know, it's not awful.
No, it's not. All right, so we have a lot to talk about for game week 37. Well, we're going to take a break, but before we do, Josh, take us through the Hail Cheaters Super League.
All right, let's do this. In 10th, I'm going to do 10 through 1. In 10th place is Keir Randall. 9th is Matthew Greco. I'm just going to do names and not team names this time around, all right? 8th place is Philip Anthony. 7th place, back in the top 10, Brendan, I know you're excited about this, Fabio Borges.
Excellent. Welcome back, Fabio.
In 6th is Patrick Connolly. 5th is Jake Conyard. 4th is Abdul Al-Mamoun. 3rd is Cesar Rodart. New in 2nd place is Jaiming Tan. And in 1st, holding strong, is Anders FK with 86 points, 2,191, 4 million in the bank, and I think something like 140th in the world. So congrats to you, Anders.
That is intense, man. 4 million. I know. Maybe he can't even spend that much. He's got so much team value.
Yeah,
it's just impossible to spend it all. You remember this movie Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like my I have an all-out attack chip that I haven't used yet, and I might not get a chance to use it.
Yeah. I think that's probably wise.
All right. So let's take a quick break. We'll get back to the Q&A.
Same old podcast. Always cheating.
Game week 37 Q&A, Brandon. We have a lot of different questions. We're going to go through them. And I think by answering all of these questions, we're going to talk about all of the key talking points for this game week. A lot of questions about captains and Jesus and Hazard, KDB, you name it. So let's jump right into it.
We didn't get many questions about Spurs, which I thought was interesting. So we'll have to make sure we're mindful of talking about what to do with our Spurs assets. First off, I think this sort of frames the entire conversation, Josh. Dave from Burnley tweets, Game Week 37 strategy, throw a load of shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, that's pretty much accurate. I mean, okay, let's jump right to it, Brandon. Who are you thinking about? Like, okay, you know, maybe you don't know yet, or you don't want to give it away yet. But who are you thinking about captaining for game week 37?
I think top of my list is Gabriel Jesus at the moment. Mm-hmm. 2 home games for Man City. Jesus looks nailed on. Very doable fixtures with Leicester and West Brom, 2 teams that have Jack to play for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're coming off of a 5-0 victory. City has not been able, since the very start of the season, to string together a number of convincing performances. So it could be wishful thinking or recency bias to think that City are going to end up scoring 10 goals in this double game week.
Yeah.
But if you look at the other options, I mean, Spurs, a pretty heavy emotional defeat at West Ham, so it's hard to predict how they look, and an away fixture to Leicester is not incredibly ideal, I think.
No, Leicester's defenses look great.
Very stout. Yeah.
And if Man U plays the way they did, so Man U, you know, they have the Europa League fixture on Thursday, and then they play, I think they play Spurs on Sunday, is that right?
Spurs?
They play Spurs on Sunday. So, I mean...
Sorry, I was just changing my captain just then.
So they play Spurs on Sunday. And, it's so interesting because it's exactly the situation they were in last week where they played the Europa League and then they played Arsenal on Sunday and even the same time. And so you wonder, will they set up defensively? I mean, kind of depends on what they've been playing. Spurs have nothing to play for at this point. I mean, I think they would have to probably like lose out in order to not finish in second place. I mean, if they pick up like 3 points or maybe even like just a couple of points, they've got second locked up. If Man U make it to the final then of the Europa League, then they're looking pretty good for the Champions League as well. So, I mean, I don't really know what to expect from that game, but I guess Man U still has to play for fourth place, right? They still have to play and try to just get that spot just in case.
Perhaps. I do lean a little towards Spurs here because I think you know, the really awful consistent narrative around Spurs is the bottle jobs. But this is a team that, assuming they can keep the project together for next season, they need to prove as a team that they can be mentally resilient. And I would suspect that Pochettino is going to ask of this squad, and they're going to ask it of themselves, to show that they're just not going to bend over for the remaining fixtures of the season.
Right.
That they're going to turn around and really try to put some convincing performances in.
Yeah. Although so the idea that
I have not lost faith in Spurs as fantasy assets yet.
No, I haven't either. But they're not as good on the road as they are at home. So like you said, they're away to Leicester midweek, and they're playing a Man United team that may just set themselves up to neutralize Spurs, right? And it's a very, it would be very much in keeping with Jose Mourinho's managerial style to not try to win the game and try to put, Spurs in a position to lose the game effectively, right? So, I mean, it's possible that there's only like, two Spurs goals across two fixtures.
All right. So, Alexis Sanchez, Josh, you've got him. Everyone assumed they'd just dump him or try to forget about him. Not even consider armbanding him for 37.
Right.
I mean, you can't deny these fixtures in 37.
Yeah, the idea that you would drop Alexis Sanchez before a double game week with one of them being Sunderland at home is insanity, right? For so many reasons. One, because he's never rested. Two, because he's just a very talented. He's scored 20 goals this season. And three, they're playing for the Champions League right now, and they need their best players to play at their best. So there's just, a multitude of reasons why Sanchez is a great option. He's not on the beach, right? He plays hard no matter what, right? I mean, they could be, out of any European spots and he would still want to play 90 minutes. But he looked a lot more engaged, I thought, today. And that goal just changed. I mean, it changes everything. It makes it feel like it makes him more viable to me as a captain option. Now, maybe, I don't know if that Ozil pass is not on the money and he doesn't score this game. Maybe I'm reading too much into one pass. But it's also, there's a lot of confidence at play here. A confident player is more likely to be a little more aggressive, I think, a little more likely to score. So, I'm definitely thinking about Sanchez. I may bring in Jesus and I may captain him. Sanchez, Jesus, Diego Costa, I mean, Eden Hazard, is he, on the table for you?
Yeah, absolutely. He is. I was just switching the armband between Hazard and Jesus. Hazard is definitely on my radar. I mean, they'll be playing for the league on Friday against West Brom. And, everyone's talking about the potential rotation of the squad if they win the league on Friday. Will all of their big players get rotated at home to Watford? And I mean, obviously I don't know, Josh, but I would assume, and I know people have written about, what Conte's done with Juventus in the past after they've won the league. There's been a lot of rotation in his squad.
There has been. Okay. I didn't know that actually.
Yeah. But They will more than likely win the league title at the Hawthorns. These guys are going to be doing a, either they do a victory lap against Watford or they do a victory lap against Sunderland. And I just, it all depends on how nervous Conte is about the FA Cup final and
right.
And how he views match fitness for that cup final. And I don't know, but I'm like 60% sure that it would favor guys like Hazard and Costa starting at home against Watford. And he's been subbing Hazard around the 70th minute,
right?
Pretty consistently.
It's a fast turnaround. I mean, they play Watford, they play West Brom Friday evening, and then they play Watford Sunday, or excuse me, Monday evening. So it's two short days. So, I mean, that does, I will say Spurs losing has made me, I was almost certain to bring in Diego Costa, and I was really thinking about captaining him for game week 37. And now I'm probably not going to bring in any other Spurs players because I'm so worried about I'm cautious though. You know, like
Spurs or Chelsea players, you mean?
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. I got up early this morning. yeah, Chelsea players. I'm actually maxed out. I have three Spurs players. Yeah, I was thinking about bringing in Costa, and now I don't know if I'm ever bringing in any Chelsea players because even defenders I'm kind of worried about now. I mean, I could see Ake, you know, getting a game for Alonso or
When they played Ake in the FA Cup, he was in the center of the defense. He wasn't out wide.
That's true, but you can play him in either position, right? I mean, you can play him as a attacking fullback, right?
Could you?
I don't know.
He didn't play that position for Bournemouth.
Yeah, no, maybe you're right. Maybe he's... How tall is he? I don't know.
Conte also doesn't strike me as that kind of manager. Like, he's got... it's a pretty sophisticated tactical system he has, but I think he has pretty clear ideas of which player plays which role, you know, what rotation he's got going on. So I would guess if Ake gets in, it would be for
Luis
or Cahill.
Cahill, right. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so that's one question.
Yeah.
Abdullah Mamoun says, for the third consecutive week, a goalkeeper has clinched the top scoring spot. Will either of you put the armband on a goalkeeper this week? Well, I guess we kind of answered that question.
Yeah, did we answer it?
Well,
our natural inclinations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't. I mean,
there's too many good players with double game weeks.
Yeah, I mean, looking at, in light of the conversation we were just having about Chelsea, you've got Chelsea, Spurs, Man City. And Alexis Sanchez. You're licking your lips with all these attacking options.
I do think that we can, you know, looking forward to next season, I think that we can definitely think about, with the way that the first two double game weeks broke, they're actually, in hindsight, those were great opportunities to captain goalkeepers because there were no real exciting players in any of those teams, right? I mean, either you had Sanchez already, there was basically one player in Arsenal you would have thought about captaining from that as an attacker. There was no one on Southampton. And so it made sense. And, you know, with a double game week a couple weeks before, once Ibra went down, there was no one on Man United that you were excited about captaining, right?
And let's not forget that Eric Peters from Stoke emerged as one of the big winners from the earlier double game week when everyone was going crazy for triple captaining Sergio Aguero, such as myself.
Right.
Peters ended up with two clean sheets.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this game week, I mean, maybe we're ignoring the evidence here, but it feels like this game week with Jesus and Alexis and, for God's sake, Harry Kane is a double game week this game week, and he's like not even at the top. He's not even necessarily in like a top two or three options.
Yeah, it is insane that we're not considering Harry Kane. I mean, form has just been so incredibly fleeting this season, feel like. Guys are just incredibly hot for 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, except for our good friend Joshua King, who has quietly been destroying the entire Premier League for the calendar year 2017.
All right, Tishi C, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, says, time to be bold. Can't be sure of starters. Example, Fabregas, Holding, Ake, Hazard, Gabbiadini, etc. Do you just have to make bold decisions?
Well, I mean, how much fun do you want to have, Tishi? I mean, if you want to win...
What did Dave say last week? If you didn't have Giroud and Wayne Rooney, you're just not having fun.
Yeah. I think Dave would probably stand by that statement.
Sure. Total of 4 points.
Today. Yeah, and I think you'd probably stand by that statement through all of next year's season as well.
If you don't have Wayne Rooney for the final 2 weeks of this season and all 38 weeks of next season, you're just not having fun, Brennan.
You're not playing the right way. I don't know. I think there's so much riding on game week 37, and there are so many great players. I think the punts are not to be taken on guys that are rotation risks. Fabregas is a really interesting pick, but I think of all those Chelsea midfielders, Fabregas, a guy who has come off the bench, though he's been playing amazingly well the last few weeks. He's come off the bench virtually the entire season.
He did look great, though. I mean, I think he's not a bad punt. Would he play both games, though? I don't know that Fabregas would play Friday and Sunday back-to-back like that. That does not seem like something that's likely to happen.
Fabregas is an old man now. He can't play games. He can't play in quick succession like that.
I'm trying. I'm looking through all the double game or all the teams that doubles this game week. I'm trying to think of who, like, the real punty options would be. I mean, there aren't. It's weird. There aren't a lot of great. I mean, like, you know, like maybe someone on Spurs, but most managers already have three Spurs players. There's no one on West Brom I'd want to punt on. Maybe like Raheem Sterling, right? Who's kind of everyone's talking about Sané, and so maybe Sterling is kind of an interesting kind of punty alternative there. I think he's only 7.5 million, so he's, you know, he's pretty affordable. Is there anyone in Man U? I mean, maybe a Man U. I mean, you can't trust that team right now, though.
No, Man U is like the worst problem team. And Jeff Ives on Twitter says players worth bringing in from relegated teams. Who are they? Yeah, why are they? So, I mean, would you bet any money that Jermaine Defoe shows up in this double game week?
Well, you know, he did just I don't know.
It's ridiculous money for Jermaine Defoe at this point in the season.
It is ridiculous money. I mean, they play Swansea at home, so that's it's a pretty good fixture. I don't know.
I think Sunderland put all of their cards on the table against Hull. It's sort of like we saw them put one over on Crystal Palace, and we're like, oh, here we go, Sunderland. They're gonna make a go of it, and then they completely folded again. I think they've got a few performances in them. I think Sunderland is gonna just get waxed in both fixtures in 37.
I would rather have Defoe than Gabbiadini, that's for sure, for the next two game weeks. Okay, so what about like a little more expensive, though? I mean, I think, you know, Mahrez and Vardy. I mean, Vardy, to me, is a really interesting punt. In really good form.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
FPL Conundrum tweets, is Vardy with City away and Spurs home worth our time? And City with company, lauded for watertight defense now, mm-hmm. but obviously company is probably going to pull up with an injury about 5 minutes into game week 37 for all the smart people who brought him in,
right?
And then Vardy is going to have a field day because that City defense is completely leaky without company. Spurs, it's all dependent on how shell shocked they appear, and I am not convinced that they will be. If you had Vardy, I would say keep him.
But we are talking about punts here, right? We're not talking about the most high percentage moves. But, you know, if you wanted to take a punt, I would maybe look at Mahrez. I mean, Albrighton is a cheaper alternative. You know, he's someone who you wouldn't necessarily bring in for the points, but because
he really appreciates FPL narrative too. Albrighton knew we were all talking about getting him in as our fifth midfielder, and he goes and scores that goal in garbage time.
92nd minute,
sort of sweetening the deal for us.
Who else is there? Anyone else we're missing? Who are some interesting punty options?
Interesting punty options. I mean, can we restrict this to just double game week players?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, Llorente.
Interesting. Maybe.
The Swansea team has been relying on him for game-winning goals the last couple of weeks, and he does look like he's really milking all of the praise he's getting from those Swansea fans, and they're playing Sunderland, and I don't know, they've got the big bad Kone back there who might be able to manhandle Llorente, but they need a win. And
I would rather have Llorente away to Sunderland than Gabbiadini for two fixtures.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't know what to do with that Southampton team attacking wise. That doesn't feel like a good punt at all to me, because Gabby Adini hasn't done anything.
Right. Right.
And they're due for a little bit of rotation.
Yeah.
The midfielders are very unreliable. And I mean,
he played better today. I mean, he played well enough that he's not going to get the, I mean, just in general, I'm not going to be cutting a double game week player before their double game week, but, he did look just good enough that I was like, okay, fine. Like, his movement was good. I mean,
before, there's some Charlie Austin intrigue out there.
Yeah, yeah, but you can't bring in Austin. I mean,
well, you're not bringing. I'm not saying bring in Charlie Austin. What I'm just saying is the fact that, you know, we're now tweeting about Charlie Austin mean that there is conceivable rotation. You're not going to get two games out of Gabby Adini.
Maybe, you know, their risk is there, but I'm still not going to drop him. I don't think. Jeff Petter says, KDB, talk to me. Would have to be for Hazard, but still.
I was just going to mention, I feel like punts, it's less you should go fishing for unknown punts on strange teams, but the punts are here, right? What Jeff is asking about, and I think what is going to make or break your game week 37 is it KDB's game week, or is it Leroy Sané's game week, or is it Raheem Sterling's game week? I think the punt will be, do you go Hazard or Pedro? Do you go Sané or Sterling? Do you go KDB or Alexis? That sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just can't drop Hazard for KDB.
Yeah, I would not. KDB is such a he's like the best player that we have never talked about this season, and it does kind of boggle my mind.
He's just too expensive.
Yeah, the price point is totally destroyed him this season. But I would be wary of him. It is total recency bias. I think people who got on him going into game week 36 were brilliant, well played. But yeah. I would be worried that to expect that kind of production from him.
I mean, he doesn't score a lot, right? I mean, I'm looking at his stats right here. I mean, he scored. He scored in game week 5, and then he didn't score again until game week 22, at which point he scored twice in a row. And then from 23 until this Crystal Palace game, he hadn't scored a goal, right? So, I mean, he's capable of going 13 to 15 games without scoring a goal.
I think there was some injury in there, but nothing. And he was getting rotated a lot. I think Pep was trying to figure out the squad a little bit, but.
Is he going to have the most assists on the season? He's got to be close, right? He's got 6, 7, 8, 13. He's got like 19 assists on the season.
I can't think of anyone that has more. I think is it 15 assists total on the season?
It looks even higher than that, but I don't want to like bog on the podcast counting them all.
I mean, if I'm already tripled up on City with Caballero, Sané, and Jesus, I am not bothered having Sané over KDB.
No.
It's a total coin flip there, but Sané is much more affordable, and if you're looking to burn some points, I can see you making a lot of more interesting moves in your team, making room for somebody on the cheaper side like Sané as opposed to Kevin De Bruyne. I don't think you're going to ultimately lose that much in points between Sané and KDB over the course of two games.
It would have been interesting. If KDB had that game in game week 35, it would have been very interesting to see how many people had him in their team for game week 36, right?
I still don't think it wouldn't have that affected, because Hazard and Alexis Sanchez still would have been the big priorities going into 36.
Yeah, that's true. But for managers who had both, maybe you dropped Sanchez for KDB.
Right. Yeah. That could have helped my green arrow this week. The few of the top managers actually dropping Sanchez.
Yeah. Okay. Fat Gorilla says it's goals from Giroud and Sanchez make them more or less appealing for next week. I was all set to drop one or both, but now I added the long W.
Fat Gorilla has Giroud in his team. Get rid of him. Get rid of Giroud.
Hey, Luke Maunder, who I played this week, had Giroud. I got a little worried when the Giroud goal came.
Yeah, but you beat Luke Maunder. I'm sorry, Luke. You're a wonderful FPL manager, but it just didn't work out for you.
It didn't work out. You're breaking up with Luke Maunder right here on the podcast, Brandon. Giroud, no. Although Giroud, I mean, if we're not talking about fantasy for a second, it's absolute insanity that Giroud is not starting over Danny Welbeck. Danny Welbeck sucks. And yeah, he had like one good pass in today's match, but other than that, he creates nothing. I mean, okay, I guess he uses his speed to get in good position, but it's, yeah, I mean, give me a break with Welbeck.
I mean, I'm sure Welbeck's speed helps create a certain amount of space for Ozil to work in and Sanchez to run into. I'm sure that plays heavily into Wenger's logic. But I think the thing that's intriguing about 36 is with this new formation that they're playing, it wasn't quite sure whether Giroud would start or Welbeck starts. Welbeck getting two starts in a row close together, it makes you feel like Giroud is definitely out of like the starting 11. Like if there were any lingering doubts that maybe Giroud would get a start, if Giroud starts against Sunderland, he has the capability of scoring a hat trick.
Yeah,
I guess it is in the punt territory, but I'm not condoning it. So that's the Giroud question sort of not answered. But what about Sanchez? Like that goal changes everything, as we said.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I never would have dropped him anyway. I would have just, once I brought him in, I'm kind of rolling with him the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean, they have two great fixtures. They play away to Stoke, which they've historically done very well at. And when I say historically, I don't mean like over the last 100 years, but over the last like 3 or 4 years, they've been very good there.
How are they during wartime, Josh?
Yeah, and then they play at home to Sunderland, and this is a Sunderland team that has nothing to play for, and an Arsenal team with everything to play for. So even if all you had was the Sunderland fixture, you would have to think about captaining Hazard for this game. I mean, okay, obviously not if like, you know, not when everybody else is a double, but like in a normal game week, if they were home to Sunderland, even in his kind of poor form, you would have to consider captaining him because it's such a great fixture. So
definitely I think Sanchez.
Sanchez, that is, yeah. So, I think the goal does change things. I mean, we talked about this at the top of the podcast. He is in the running for the Josh Landon captaincy. It's him, Jesus, possibly Kane. Kane seems very safe to me. I feel like there's a good chance of getting at least a goal from mm-hmm. 2 games with Kane. But do I see like 3 goals from Kane? I don't know that I do. It really depends on. I mean, ideally, Man United would go like 120 minutes on Thursday in the Europa League and like penalties and like everyone plays and then they're just exhausted for Sunday. That would be, you know, if that happens, maybe I look at Kane again. But I think I'm thinking Sanchez right now.
Yeah, I think your gut is right there. All right, Mark on Twitter. Will Josh King outscore a player with 2 games? And how frightened should wild-carding bench boosters be of Lukaku v. Watford at home?
Okay, I think these are easy questions. I think one is Josh King is a great option for Game Week 37. I would definitely not drop him for any double Game Week players in that price bracket. I mean, even someone like Sané, I would want to burn 4 to turn him into a double Game Week player for sure.
Yeah, Burnley is not good away from home, as we know. And also Burnley is virtually safe, so they're right. Good.
And King is in great form. How frightened you should be of Lukaku versus Watford at home? You should not be. Well, okay, you can be like a little frightened, but I would not be. I would not be very scared because.
Do not look under your bed for Lukaku before you go to sleep that night.
I mean, for all this talk of the on the beach players, I mean, Everton is like the captain of this. Of the on the beach roster, right? Like they have completely stopped playing the last couple of game weeks. I mean, they basically had a chance to like cost Chelsea the title, and they utterly rolled over at home, right? I mean, they got destroyed 3-0 at home.
Yeah, Everton is just they're the most frustrating team. They just have this craven mentality. They can look great sort of when it suits them, but yeah. On the whole, they're just like one of the most craven good teams.
They need more creative midfielders. That is like A1 most important priority.
Yeah. All right. Jim Payne. I need to gain some ground in my mini league.
Patreon supporter, Jim Payne. One of the earliest.
You were right there the whole time, Jim. he asked, Captain Sanchez, Hazard, or Costa? Okay, so you have to make this choice, Josh.
Well, they're all pretty highly owned. So it really depends on whoever above you doesn't have, you know, like, so if you're trying to make up like a spot or two and the managers above you don't have one of those three, like let's say you're trying to make up the crown up against two managers.
Yeah.
And neither of them have Sanchez. That's the player I would captain.
I'd say
Hazard or Costa.
And there's more upside with the midfielder between Sanchez and Hazard you just compare the points they get with clean sheets and an additional point for a goal. I think particularly if you're making up ground, I'd stick with the midfielder options.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be scared of captaining Costa, but, you know, for the reasons we mentioned before, I mean, that whole team could be up for some rotation. All right. Andy Lloyd Williams says, first time listener, courtesy of James Sawyer. Thank you, James. And thank you, Andy. Who can you rely on for goals in the last 2 weeks? And then he says Costa and Llorente. Now, that's an interesting question. We have not talked about game week 38 very much.
Yeah, game week 38, always a total wild card. But I like Llorente because Swansea will surely still have, you know, something to play for in game week 38. And they're home to West Brom. And, man, watching that Swansea-Everton game over the weekend, there's some pretty powerful images of their home fans just really gritting their teeth while they were trying to hang on to that victory. And you could just feel through the TV screen what this campaign, you know, this last gasp means to them. And I feel like they're going to derive a lot of energy against a totally beach-bound West Brom team. And yeah, I like Llorente scoring goals in both of these game weeks.
Yeah, I do too. And I saw the shots as well, and it was kind of, I mean, I was pretty annoyed about getting nothing from Lukaku. I actually held on to him as kind of a differential this game week. He had a couple of moments. I don't know. He didn't look like he really cared that much. Why would they?
It's so tough for him. I think towards the end, he sort of figured out that he had to do it all on his own.
Yeah.
And he just didn't have enough in the tank when it came to it. Costa could definitely score in both game weeks, assuming there's not heavy rotation. And I can't imagine there will be. Batshuayi hasn't gotten any playing time this season.
Yeah.
His issue is that he never has big hauls.
And, yeah.
He very well might score in both game weeks, but they're not going to be, season changing hauls.
That's true. It's kind of just his style. I mean, even go back to his time at Atletico Madrid. FPL Kangaroo says Sanchez or Hazard to KDB. Which one do we get rid?
I guess Hazard is the one to get rid of. There's, we kind of talked about possible Chelsea rotation at the start of the podcast, and it's anyone's guess where that's concerned. Yeah. Sanchez being like firmly nailed on, there's a huge upside with him.
Don't we just think neither one, right? I mean, that's what I think. I wouldn't get rid of either player for KDB.
Yeah. Going back to what we were saying about it being kind of a coin toss between him and Leroy Sané, if you want City midfield coverage, or, you know, Raheem Sterling is an interesting punt as well. KDB doesn't feel essential just on the back of that.
Yeah, agreed.
That game.
Richie says, go all in on City.
Yeah, City have the best fixtures. They have very decent form. They have a lot to play for just to stay solidly in the top four. I think it's kind of imperative, if you can, to have three City going into 37.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't bring in any defenders. Outside of Caballero, but if you didn't want to bring in Caballero, I don't think I'm not going to burn four to bring in Caballero.
Are you not?
I'm not, no.
You could.
I could. I already have two double game week goalkeepers, though, so I'm not planning to do that. I wouldn't bring in any of their defenders, though, right? I mean, for the reasons you said before, I mean, even Kompany, is he really going to play 180 minutes, in a double game week?
I mean,
even if they wanted,
it just doesn't seem possible with a body like that.
It doesn't
with a dome like that.
It doesn't seem possible.
That goal though? Oh my god!
Yeah,
amazing strike by Kompany.
It was a really great goal. I think. I mean, Sterling. Sterling, Sané, and Jesus would be a I would be very, and I would not want to go up against a team that had those three players in Game Week 37.
No, you wouldn't.
No, yeah, I mean, so that would be very scary.
Last question comes from James Drury. To keep Pedro, or who to transfer him out for with zero in the bank, or instead keep him and transfer out James Wank Prowse. James's words, not ours. If so, for who? Help me decide, as my own podcast. It's a FF surgery podcast that James hosts. It didn't help him out. So he's come to Always Cheating, the real podcast, to answer his question.
Yeah.
So what do we have? What do we have to say to James? I would say I would be okay keeping Pedro, but if you don't have Josh King, that's a pretty easy move.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good move. It's too bad that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's probably going to be out the rest of the season now with a hamstring, because he was looking really dangerous. And I think
Heard that.
Yeah, he got subbed maybe like the 35th minute.
Oh, okay. And that's when Bellerin came in?
Yeah, exactly. So
okay. I'm putting it together now.
Yeah, and Bellerin would be a fun player to look at for the doubles, but he's just too expensive. I think he's still like $6.5 million. I think I would probably – well – I was thinking you could drop Ward-Prowse for Albrighton, but I mean, then you're really just subbing a double game week for a double game week. I'm not really sure that that's a net gain. Maybe it is Josh King if you don't have him already.
Yeah, I think it is. I think we spent far too much time a couple podcasts ago trying to go through the barren wastelands of decent midfielders between, you know, 5 and 6.5 million.
Yeah. I mean, with nothing in the bank, the problem is Pedro is at a really weird price point, isn't he? I think he's like 6.8 million.
He's less than seven, like, so you couldn't turn him into Leroy Sané or Raheem Sterling. It's the problem.
Yeah.
If there were more clarity about United and a guy like Ander Herrera, who you like, how much would Juan Mata be? But a lot there more hinges on what their lineup looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of – maybe Adam Lallana. I don't know. He hasn't looked that good, though.
I'm saying keep Pedro, because they could come out and just blow West Brom away, and you could get all you need out of Pedro in one fixture.
Yeah, that's true. There's just no one really appealing to bring in. Even Dusan Tadic is too expensive, at 6.9 million. Yeah. I think I would, if you just wanted to make the move, or if you felt like the rest of your team was settled, I think Prowse to Albrighton is the move that I would make.
Yeah, that works for me. Yeah. And Pedro, it's all upside there. Either he blows West Brom away or he blows Watford away. So,
you choose. All right, Brandon, those are the questions. Let's take a quick break and let's come back and just kind of briefly look at Game Week 37. As if we haven't just done that for an hour.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Josh, we're back for our penultimate Game Week preview. God, I can't believe the season is almost over.
Yeah,
Kind of makes me happy.
It makes me kind of happy too. It's been a long season.
But this Game Week 37, this is the big daddy. This is what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
It's either going to happen for you or it's not going to happen for you in 37.
I mean, this is the biggest, like, no bullshitting. Like, this is it, right? This is the biggest game week of the season. Everything's been building towards this.
All right,
it's completely spread out. It's like, I don't even know when we're going to podcast next week. If we podcasted early, we'd miss like eight fixtures.
So, Game Week 37, so many doubles. How many, and there are going to be a lot of people just trying to make their final push to get their overall rank up, make up ground in their mini league. Maybe it's not for you, Josh, but how many points would you recommend burning to set your team up to where you're happy with it going into 37?
It depends. It depends on, you know, what your – if your players – you know, if there are players – like if you're bench boosting, let's say. If there are players that just have straight up awful fixtures, you know, like a defender that's a way to Man City or something. I don't know. Like, just, you know, if there's someone who you know is going to get you like 0 to 2 points, then I think it's worth burning some points.
Particularly a single game weaker, like if you have a Burnley defender, you've got Tom Heaton, turn him into Pickford. Four to turn him into Pickford.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably going to pay off for you, especially with Sunderland being home to Swansea. I feel like having any less than 10 double game weekers, and I'd be feeling pretty nervous about this game week.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I think the wild carders have set themselves up for, 12, 13, 14, full 15 to double. So, yeah, if you're under 10, you're probably going to get blown away.
But there's no need to totally panic either. I mean, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I brought in a single game weaker for my transfer in game week 36, knowing that he had a single game week in 37, because I just felt like Josh King at that price point was the best option for game week 37, even though he only has one game. There's all this talk about, who to bring in on Southampton, and people are bringing in Redmond and Ward-Prowse and Tadic, who everyone's least favorite player. If you're going to bring in a player who's bad or is in bad form or whatever, then you might as well just not burn 4 points.
I have a question for you, Josh. I'm going to name three teams, and I want you to tell me which team has the least appealing double game week.
Okay.
Is it Watford, both away games, to Everton and to Chelsea? Mm-hmm. Is it West Brom hosting Chelsea, then away to Man City? Mm-hmm. Or is it Manchester United, away to Spurs, and away to Southampton, while also struggling in the Europa League?
West Brom is the worst by far, with Watford second worst and Man U third. I mean, away to Southampton's not that bad of it. They could win that game.
Yeah, they definitely could. They could certainly easily keep a clean sheet at St. Mary's. It's not even worth trying to pick clean sheets. This is going to be total chaos.
Yeah, we talked about captains already. Let's just talk about what the game week looks like. I mean, you got two fixtures on Friday, Everton and Watford, West Brom and Chelsea. Chelsea are probably going to clinch the title. I would be very surprised if they didn't. And then you've got five fixtures on Saturday, including a really big early morning Man City match. Three on Sunday, and then another one on Monday. Two on Tuesday, which is Arsenal, Sunderland, Man City, West Brom. And then another one on Wednesday, Southampton, Man U. And then finally, Leicester Spurs on Thursday, May 18th. That is ridiculous.
Saturday and Tuesday are going to be the biggest days, I think, because it'll be the battle of the captains. It's probably going to be between it's going to be Alexis Sanchez versus whichever Man City player you plan to captain.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's a really good point. I was thinking about that Spurs game, but I think you're right. I think if we're all kind of leaning away from captaining Kane, then you're right. Tuesday is really that's the day to fake a doctor's appointment or something.
It's so dicey with Harry Kane. I mean, United will park the bus at White Hart Lane.
Yep.
Though, of course, I think people will make the point it's Spurs' last game ever at White Hart Lane.
True.
On Sunday. So they'll want to give the fans a show. The fans will ask for one.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. You certainly can't go wrong captaining the game this game week. It's just that there are so many. It's hard to feel definitive in who you list as your captain this game week, because there really are a lot of very interesting options, and I think you're really gonna have to think about it. And I think I would recommend that people read some articles online, like really do some actual research.
Look who's top of the poll, because going with the herd here is not going to help you at all. This is your chance.
This is exactly. I mean, if you're leading your mini league, then yeah, you can follow the top of the poll, or whatever. Just go with whatever seems like the safest pick. Which is
who probably, among us, unless we're Anders FK, are leading our mini leagues. None of us.
That's true. So I think it's a good time to be bold, within the parameters of these 6 to 7 players you might consider captaining.
What about Liverpool? I mean, does Liverpool enter into this discussion at all? I feel like we've all gone through the slow, painful process of excising Liverpool players from our squads.
Yeah, well, they play away to West Ham, and West Ham have actually looked pretty good at home the last, you know, I mean, are they on, what is it, 3 clean sheets in a row now for West Ham?
I mean, and to keep a cleanie against Spurs, it's pretty impressive.
So and their title run, basically, yeah.
Taking them this long to warm up to that new stadium.
Yeah, Liverpool, I mean, they just really need Sadio Mane. I mean, you can see why there was a rumor that Liverpool were looking at Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and, you know, it's really easy to understand why, because without Mane, they just don't have that, like, super pacey player. I mean, I guess Origi kind of does that, but his runs aren't as good as they should be. I know that Origi and the Ox are different types of players, but I feel like they could use another winger with some pace.
They could probably be friends, at least. Yeah, see them.
They could be friends. You
know, getting along.
Yeah, yeah. The Ox can't stay healthy, though. That's the problem. And he can't score.
Yeah. What else do we need to talk about here?
I think that's it. Let's end
that's
this.
That's it?
Yeah.
Let's end this. Okay.
I mean, they're big decisions. I mean, you've already probably played your wild card. You know, if you're going to bench boost, I mean, the decisions are at the margins at this point. To me, it's like, who are you going to captain? That's the biggest question for this game week.
I really don't think I'm going to make a transfer this game week.
Really?
Yeah, I can't see any move that I would make in my team. I mean, unless I decided to second guess Hazard and turn him into something else.
Yeah, but I mean, not with the double game week. That seems like something that could really blow up in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at 14 double game weekers plus Josh King, and there is this slight temptation. I've always had this completist mentality, Josh.
To just
turn King into a double game weeker just to go all out 15 players.
I can understand that. I don't think it's the right move, though.
No, it's not. But that would be the move if I wanted to turn Hazard into KDB or Sanchez. I'd have to downgrade. That King is my route. I would turn King into somebody like Albrighton, maybe.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I could see that. I don't know, but I I'm not even trying to like talk you out of this because I have Sanchez, but I really think that I would not be doing that myself. I mean, Hazard's going to play in both the games, and he's going to start one of the two. Right?
There's no way they don't at least trot him out for that home Watford game so he can get a standing ovation from.
He's playing a minimum 120 minutes over the next two game weeks.
Matt Pinfield style.
Next two fixtures, I should say.
He's going to get a true Matt Pinfield.
Yes. All right, Brandon. Well, good luck this game week. And yeah, maybe try to watch some games. I don't know. Or maybe we save that for game week 38, right? The final showdown.
Save it for the final showdown.
Yeah.
All right. Before we leave, Josh, I'll remind everyone that if you love us, if you want to keep up with us, subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast. We're on iTunes where you can rate us, leave us a review, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Casts. You can follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. We're at facebook.com/always cheating. Or Josh, people can send us an email at
HailCheaters@gmail.com. They can also support the podcast. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Two updates for Patreon supporters. One is that we are going to turn on the hiatus feature in June. We don't plan on doing any podcasts in June. Taking some time off, obviously. And so we don't want anyone to be charged when we're not doing podcasts. So we're turning that off. We may end up doing June and July, too. It sort of depends on when they release the new the new season fixtures. But we obviously don't want any of our Patreon supporters to be paying to support the podcast.
Paying for us to be on the beach.
Exactly. So we're very conscious of that. So we're definitely going to turn that on. And we also have another podcast coming. It's scheduled to go up Sunday night. We have a special guest that we're really excited about having on the podcast. And I think you guys are going to be excited about that too. So
he's Irish.
He's Irish. That's our hint. All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Josh, good luck.
Yep, you too. Bye.